challenging story in Scripture. This encounter of Jesus with this really financially well-off young man, here's where it really gets tough and hard. It gets right at the, I want to call it the black knot, the real knot, the real perplexity of what I would call the problem, actually, of what I would call, nice Christianity, which seems to be what a lot of folks settle for. But you know what? In this passage, Jesus isn't very nice. He's not the nice Jesus in this passage at all. He's actually quite direct. He's very bold and daring. He's dangerous. He's radical. And because he's getting at this contrast that he really wants to draw for his disciples between what passes itself off as nice religion versus new life, Jesus is asking for something that has nothing really to do with being nice, but a whole lot to do with being new. That's what the passage is really about. The young man comes to him with a simple question. How do I, he's got a name. How do I live the kind of life, here's his thinking, that is going to pre-qualify me? That's what he's a businessman. You know, I want to be pre-qualified for the reward of eternal life. How do I do that? Now, he's nice, he's good. I mean, I think the question's heartfelt. But behind the question is a kind of presumption that goes like this. I think I'm really close, Jesus, to getting this. I think I almost have it nailed down, you know, what it is I have to do, how I have to design and build and structure my life. But you're going to be the one, I believe, that's just going to push me over the top and get me there. What is it that I have to do? What's left for me to do? And Jesus' answer to him is very pointed. It's very plain. He says to him, you're not even close. Nice doesn't even cut it. You're not close at all. You're going in the wrong direction. What you're going to have to do, what you absolutely have to do, is give away everything that you have. You have to give away all your stuff, all your RRSPs, all your savings, all your pension and retirement fund, all your home, your cars, everything. Give it all away. And then I want you to come and follow me. Now, you be the one to tell me that's not tough. That's very tough. In fact, it's more than tough. It's really quite threatening. And it comes up against the grain, really, of how I live, of how I think most of us live. Am I out in left field when I say that you know, our aim, our good aim in life is to try and build for ourselves and our family a good life, a nice life? You know, we want to bless our children and our grandchildren, want to have a little bit of a nest egg so that we can survive as long as we have, you know, the operative words there. I really want something that's nice, something that's good. Just thinking about it, almost sounds Canadian, doesn't it? Sounds like me, and I'm sure it sounds like you. We want, like this young man in the story, to build and design for ourselves a life that has everything that we need. Everything that we believe we have to have in order to make it, to secure a good and a nice life. And Jesus says, hold on a second. I mean, hold on right there. What you're talking about, if that's how you choose to live, what you're talking about is a spirituality of achievement. You're talking about a spirituality of living life by thinking that you can do it. You can make it. And it won't work. You're heading in the opposite direction of God life, of new life, of a different life, of a life that's been set free by the power of God. Now, I have to tell you, this is just not only challenging at a personal level, it's also challenging at a vocational level for me as a pastor, because, you know, as a pastor, I read this story and I think to myself, well, you know, Jesus, you're missing a big chance here. You should be thrilled to have this eager, super-achieving, very well-off, rich young guy, and hopefully he's going to tithe of his finances. And hey, listen, you should want somebody like that on board. Sign that guy up. I mean, that's how I would think. Get him involved. You know, I mean, we need fresh blood. We need more in the plates. You know, like, come on. Where's your membership certificate? We'll take it. You know, let's get this guy and get him part of the church. And that young man, get it now, he got a very abrupt response to his inquiry from Jesus. because Jesus threw up for him like a brick wall, and he let him slam into it head first. This guy hit it hard when Jesus responded to him. The text does say this. It says Jesus looked at him, and it was with the look of love, because there was a other passages say compassion. There was just something deep and so empathetic in Jesus for this young man. But it was also the look of love that spoke the truth to this man, spoke deep truth and radical truth. He said, you lack one thing. You really need to know this. And you can almost hear the young man saying, well, come on, tell me what it is. I'll do it. I'll make it happen. I mean, tell me. I'll take care of it. And Jesus says to him, give it all away. Then you come and follow me. And the young man, shocked, stunned, and says there's a grieving because he really wanted to follow Jesus. And he went away sad. Now you might say to yourself, well, I mean, why did Jesus have to say that to him? I mean, is it true? I mean, would I have the audacity in the name of God to say to you this morning that you have to sell off everything that you have if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus? Is that what Jesus is saying here? Friends, you dig into the story, you see, the bottom line in this story really doesn't have to do anything at all with stuff, with money or possessions. This isn't a money story, essentially. This isn't Jesus saying, you know, show me the money. No, that's not what it's all about. If I'm going to put a word to this story, it's not a money story, it's a heart story. I mean, Jesus is driving right at the heart of this young man. He's saying, who is it? What is it that rules your heart? Somebody's going to rule your heart. Something's going to rule your heart. Almost sounds like Bob Dylan, doesn't it, if you know that name? You're going to have to serve somebody, is what Dylan sang back in, sorry, I'm dating myself, 1980. It may be your family. It may be your children. It may be your grandchildren. It may be your work. It may be your pension. It may be your retirement. You know, it may be your recreation. It may be your golf game. But you're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to follow somebody. And Jesus is saying, I want you, not just to that young man, but to me and to every one of us, I want you to put me first. I want you to let me be the lead one, the first one in your life. Jesus doesn't want your money, doesn't want your homes, doesn't want your cars, doesn't want the stuff in your life. What he wants is you. That's really what Jesus wants. Now, what Jesus knows and what we have to get is simply this, that when we put Jesus first, then we're going to get all the other stuff, plus, Jesus says, 100-fold, you know, in this life and in the life to come, it's going to come back. So the story here is not about possessions. It's about the heart. And the young man, he said no. He said no to giving his heart. He said no to surrendering his life to Jesus as Lord over everything. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, it's really hard for those who have a lot of stuff. It's really difficult for them to move beyond being content, just being nice and solid citizens and, you know, being good, to being a new kind of person, a changed kind of person, someone whose life has been surrendered all, transformed and surrenders all to me. And his disciples were really perplexed at this, they think to themselves, well, if that's what it's all about, Jesus, then who can really be saved? We're all ruled out if that's what you're talking about. And Jesus' answer is, you know, yes, you're right. If it's all about you, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Everything's possible for God. You can be the nicest person in the town that you live in. You can be the nicest person in this church. And that isn't going to score you anything. No points at all with Jesus. You get zero with God if that's what it's all about. Because when God looks at me and Yes, when God looks at you, what the Lord sees is he sees the living, the walking dead. Strange kind of way to put words together, but you see, for God, we're not just imperfect people who have a few little blemishes that we got to tweak and cover up, you know, get a cosmetic kind of treatment. And, you know, we just don't need a little bit here and a little bit there, a little bit of life and improvement. We're dead. We're dead in the way that we live. We're dead in the way that we operate from. We're dead in our niceness. And Jesus says, you've got two choices. You're dead. You got dead people. Thank goodness there's at least two choices, eh? You think if there's one choice, it is over. You're dead. You're dead. But Jesus says you got two choices. You can be content with being nice Christians, and that's deadly. Or you can come alive. Alive again. Like the praise team led us in this morning. Alive. By becoming a new person. You see, nice for Jesus is all about being lukewarm. Read Revelation chapter 3. You know, what it talks there is that the niceness is really about being proper and respectable and safe and neither hot nor cold. It's all about cultural, run-of-the-mill kind of Christianity, churchianity. I'm the one who's in charge, you know, and Jesus is just one of my many life interests that I've got, and when it all comes together, then, you know, I'll give some place to Jesus. But if it's my golf game, that, you know, it's my golf. You know, it's just one of many things on the agenda of my life. New for Jesus. That's nice. New for Jesus is all about surrender. It's saying and it's singing from a heart that's been set free. I'm not even going to attempt it. But you know it. We've sang it here before. Jesus. Jesus. All for Jesus. All that I am, all that I have, all that I ever hope to be, all of my ambitions, hopes, and dreams, I surrender these into your hands, Jesus. You take them because they really do belong to you. They've come to me from you. I give them back. I surrender myself, all that I am and have, to you. See, Jesus doesn't want my frantic activity. Your, not just frantic, but frantic activity either. He doesn't want you to be busy and get burned out in the life of the church or any other part of life. What he wants is you. It's what he wants. He wants you. Doesn't want your money, doesn't want your possessions. He wants your heart. He wants your control center. And it all has to start with a really hard kind of word. You know, it's really important here when you see this story is that whatever it is that's going on in your life, I mean, the stuff that the rest of us don't see, okay? You have to see that when Jesus looks at you, he looks with love. No one else knows that stuff, right? But Jesus knows all about it. He knows what's going on, and he looks at you with love. Now, it may be hard stuff, it may be tough stuff, and the first word that you hear of God, and you think, well, that can't be God, because that's really such a hard word. I never would have thought that God would have ever given me a hard word like that, because you see, the love of Christ will often show up when we least expect it, and it'll show up in that hard time, in that difficult and challenging time. Maybe there are health problems, there may be financial issues, perhaps there's some conflict and relational struggle going on. It could be that you're struggling with some grief and loss. It may be that it's something in the way of an addiction. I don't know. It's, you know, it's unknown to all the rest of us, but God knows it. And when Jesus looks, he loves. And we may think we've hit a wall with it, but we get this look of love that brings us a challenging word. And it's God's Spirit at work in our lives, just simply inviting us to lay it all down. Just lay it down, surrender it, give it back to God, and put Jesus first. Let Christ have control over it. Surrender to God's will, and then be set free from really that kind of struggle of trying to achieve and making it, being nice and good and solid, to being someone who's new from the heart out, a life changed. And here's the thing about it. I really believe this, and that and you do that, you just really can't lose. You know, you're going to win. I think at the end, it may not happen, you know, for a long time, but the nice kind of living the Christian life, that's going to eventually lose. And it's going to be a deadly loss, a frightening and scary loss at some point in time. But with new and with changed and with transformed life in Jesus, you win. Now, Jesus tells Peter this. I'm going to end with this, because Peter says, he asked the question, in chapter 10 and verse 29, Peter says, you know, we've given away all this. I mean, look at this. Look what we have done for you. And it's like Jesus is saying, you just have to surrender your life, Peter, to my lordship, and you're going to see the impossible happen. Stuff you can't even get close to. You're going to see it take place, and you're going to get back the life you've given to me plus more, 100-fold. And then he says this, and this is the part I don't like. I don't know if you remember it, what Jesus said. You're going to get all of the stuff back, but you're also going to get persecution. You're also going to get some hard times that are just very well going to continue. You're going to get all of that. But remember, I'm right there with you. That's the look of love. I'm right there with you. You know, when it comes to the life of the church, I think this also goes right to the heart of it. You know, I was thinking about this. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? I mean, what church wouldn't want to have, let's say it's the 23rd of September, between now and the end of the year, to have 10 more families added to this congregation, households added to this congregation, that all delight to give a lot of money? Put your hand up if you're for that. I'm for it. Yeah, that'd be wonderful. It'd be great. But let me tell you this. It'd be nice, but it wouldn't be healthy. It just wouldn't be healthy. We'd be using the wrong measurement. We'd be using the wrong metric, if I can put it like that, to take the gauge of our congregational health. The only measurement that God permits us, that God gives to us, is, are we the kind of church, are we the kind of people? Yes, it'd be okay to have 10 people like that, but the bigger question is this. Are we the kind of people who are regularly experiencing transformation? Is there ongoing, deep change taking place in the life of this congregation, in the individuals, in the households and families, and in the church family? That's the only measurement that we can really use. Our health is never, ever going to be determined by the size of our budget, by the extent of our programming, by any growth in our membership, by the number of baptisms or professions of faith. Hey, listen, I want strong numbers in all of those areas. I do. I hope you do as well. But we can never, ever measure ourselves by those kind of things. There's only one thing. Is George's life being changed? I won't call out your name, but you know, like I'm... Is your life being changed by the power of God, by the life-giving, life-transforming benefits of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Are you a person who's being set free by Jesus into new life, into God life? And so this story, I'm going to invite the praise team to come up, but this story in Mark 10 narrows down for us the choice that Jesus leaves us with. Nice religion or new Christianity? A new faith, a life-transforming faith. And that's both a personal choice, it's a choice for the church. And let me tell you, the choice that you make, nice or new, it's going to make all the difference. So come, Lord. Even right now, we're going to sing and go out from here now, but there's a lot of stuff we carry in our lives, and some of it is pretty deep-seated because we're concerned, we're anxious about health issues and maybe some financial stuff going on. There may be work-related things happening. There could be some strife and struggle, some fracture. God, there just may be things that really, to us, have the look of absolute, utter impossibility, and they're promises from you. It's like we can't figure it out. There's just such mystery to it all. But we say this morning, take us, who we are and all that we have, everything about us. We just, with an open heart and an open hand, give it right back to you now and say, Jesus, come, and let the impossible reality of new life, of changed and transformed life, start to happen within me again. Refresh and renew us by the power of your Spirit. Amen.